This is number 41 in the series, and it's really entitled the Aron HaKodesh Tirushalayim. Having solidified his monarchy, so David HaMelech now faces the major task, which is governing. But for the Jewish monarch, it's more serious than that. And the primary mission of the king is, of course, to guide the people in the ways of Torah. But in our context, it's to build a Beis HaMikdash. That would require, it does require knowledge, of course, where and what. It requires a very high spiritual level, vigilance, so that level is not lost, and freedom from distractions and the other problems of government. Distractions, whether personal, national, international, etc. So as a very first step, we'll see as we begin Perek Vav tonight of Shmuel Bez, David seeks to retrieve the Aron HaKodesh from Kiryat Yarim. You all recall that the Aron HaKodesh was returned by the Plishtim in Perek Zayin of Shmuel Aleph, and it came to rest in Kiryat Yarim, which is just west of Yerushalayim, Adayom. And it stayed there for 20 years. And Shaul made no attempt ever to retrieve the Aron HaKodesh, or in fact to reunite it, so to speak, with the Mishkan, either in Nov or Givon. So there it rested. David did as a prelude to Binyan Beis HaMikdash, but something else comes first. Some other things come first, including tests. Like every monarch, David is tested. It's very interesting that he's tested in similar ways to which Shaul was tested. What's the first test of the Jewish king? Well, invariably, it involves the Plishtim. So we begin today in number one, which is Perek Hei Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vayishmu Plishtim ki mashvuz David lemelech al Yisrael. The Plishtim heard that David had been anointed the king of Israel. You recall that David had struck an alliance with the Plishtim, sort of, when he went to live with Achlish Melech Gad, fleeing from Shaul. But now that David is the ruler of Israel, so the traditional rivalry returns. Vayalu kol Plishtim luvakesh es David. All the Plishtim ascended to seek out David. What does it mean to seek out? Radak says in 2, Lilochem imo, to wage war against him. Why are they waging war against him? For no real reason. Ve'oz also David mizmor. David then composed the second kapitel Tehillim. Lama rog shugoyim, ulum yegurik. Why are the nations always in an uproar? Meaning here he just became the king. So why are they rising al Hashem al Mashicho, upon God and His anointed? Shinis lefishin iskapsu kol plishtim, kamo shomar vayalu kol plishtim. Because all the plishtim came, unprovoked, unwarranted. Why are they there? If only because it's the role of the plishtim, enemies of God, to always rise al Hashem al Mashicho. So they come to Plishtim, vayishma David, vayered el Metzudah. So David hears and he goes down to the fortress, most probably the fortress in Ir David. Uvlishtim bo. The Plishtim came, vayinatshu be'emek Rephaim. They spread out in Emek Rephaim. How far do they get? Well, Emek Rephaim in the Tanakh is where Rehov Emek Rephaim is today. It's the Rephaim Valley. They came very close to Yerushalayim, probably less than 2 miles as the crow flies, probably a mile and a half even, from Emek Rephaim until Ir David. Mind you, there are hills and valleys to traverse, but they're very close. Vayishal David b'Hashem lemor, David asks, consults the Urim v'Tumim, Ha'ale el Plishtim, hasitnem b'yadi, should I go against the Plishtim? Will they fall into my hands? Vayom Hashem el David alei. God answers, go, ascend, fight. Ki nason atenas haplishtim biyadecha. I'll surely give the plishtim into your hands. V'chein hayo. Listen to the pasuk. Urim v'tumim is worn by the Kohen Gadol. That's correct. So he came to the Kohen Gadol. That's right. Or the Kohen Gadol came to him. where's the Urim Tumim? And he asked the question, and the letters on the Choshen that spell out the names of the tribes of Israel, they light up, and it's up to the Kohen or the Navi to interpret exactly what the message is. Vayavo David Bival Pratzim. David comes to the plain of Pratzim. Came Sham David, he smites them there. Vayomer Paratz Hashem Es Oyvai Lefanai Keferetz Mayim. God has breached my enemies, just like water breaches, or it's easy to breach water, or just like water breaches its barrier. I mean, he sailed through them, and he saw the Yad Hashem in that. Number three, the Radak, Klomar. Me Hashem oisazos, ki ani bimat, am, hikisi amrov kozeh. I, part of a small nation, outnumbered, we're always in the minority, I was able to defeat, to smite a larger nation. Elisha Kel Parazzo Samlafanoif. I could not have done it but for God reaching the way before me. He succeeds. Al Kenkar Hashem Makom Ahu Baal Pratzim. The name of the place called Baal Pratzim. Remember those phrases, Baal Pratzim, Paratz Hashem Asoivai, because we'll come back to it. Vayazvu Shamas Atza Behem, Vayisem David Vanashov. The Plishtim abandoned their idols there, and David and his men, Vayisoim, so two pshatim in Vayisoim. One, look at number five, Radak again. One is Vayisrafim, he burnt them. And the Radak quotes Chazal, that's Lashon Netilo, literally, he carried them. So the question is, which one is it? Did they burn them or carry them? And if it was both, so how did they do both? So Radak explains, quoting the Medrash, that David burned them. Started burning their idols, and the Plishtim carry their idols into battle as a sign of the might of their gods. When they were defeated, so one of the Plishtim, one of their leading warriors, came over to David's side. Someone will figure in Shmuel Bez later on. Itai Hagiti. Itai came, so as Radak notes, he was a Plishti. Kisharom Apelas Plishtim Bolo El David. He came over to David's side. V'kodem Shabbat Itai Giti or Maskil Nisrofat Sabim. Before he came, they were burning the idols, which you have to do. It's like wigs b'zman hazeh. Kevodas Elilu Masur Bano. You can't have any hanah from idols. V'kevan Shabbat Itai Giti Ubatel Avodas Elilim. When Itai came and he was mevatel them. Remember we discussed this on Shabbos. Then an idolater has the right to repudiate, to renounce the idol, and then it's Mutar Bano, so that's what he did. Once it was Mutar Bano, they stopped burning it, and Vayisoim, they carried it off. So in fact, the Navi uses an equivocal term that could mean both things. So what does David do first? He defeats the Plishtim, he acknowledges God's hand in defeating the Plishtim, and so far so good. Now comes the test. Vayosifu od plishtim lalos, vayinachu beimik refoyim. Again, another band of plishtim come. Vayishal David b'ashem vayomer lo saleh. Now David asks the Urim Tumim, and the Urim Tumim answers, lo saleh, don't fight, don't go up. Hosev el acharehem uvasalehem imul b'choyim. Go around the back, circle around to the back of the camp, the flank, and there, approach them from opposite the Bichayim. Bichayim are mulberry trees. So mulberry trees, the Pasuk says, V'hi kishamachos kol tzadob rashay ha-Bichayim oz techaratz. They'll hear movements, they'll hear sounds, and they'll think it's the rustling of the mulberry trees. Whereas it'll really be the camp of David. Then when you approach, you're on the other side of the trees, they're on the other side of the trees also, then you'll shout, Techaratz, your battle cry, Ki oz yetzashem lefanecha lakoz mechnei plishtim. Then God will go out and defeat the plishtim. So why was David told the first time to go fight, and here he's told not to fight? So the Malbim says very well that this was his test, because you'll recall, I'm sure you all do, from Shaul, the very first test of Shaul was that Shmuel told him, don't wage war against the Plishtim for 7 days until I come and bring Karbonos. And a few days into the waiting period, the people were clamoring, let's go to battle with the Plishtim. And I think it was on the seventh day, he couldn't wait anymore. And Shaul went to battle against the word of Shmuel HaNavi, for which he was criticized. Again, he succumbed to the popular will, and now David does exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. God says, don't fight, but go around. The Malba mentions as well that part of it was that David should not succumb to the people's entreaties, nor v'lo batach al gvuraso. He did not rely on his own power. Rather, he saw himself as a servant of God. And that'll be a common theme in David's kingdom, which will differentiate him from Shaul. David saw himself first and foremost as a servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, David did exactly what he was told to do. Vayaz David ken kasher tzivo Hashem. Oh, if only Shaul HaMelech had done the same thing, then our history would be different. But David did what God said. He didn't fight. And then when the battle actually came, the methodology of fighting was such that it maximized the Yad Hashem because it was so unorthodox. The Plishtim was struck all the way back to Gezer, so they were removed from any problematic involvement.
The question
with Jews.
Raised, why did yes. not Shaul consult the Ark of Tumen before doing anything?
Well, the Navi tell him directly.
But he made certain strategic moves.
Right, no, he did. Shaul did occasionally consult the Ark of Tumen. Until you find towards the end of Shmuel Aleph, you recall David, you know, he killed all the Kohanim. The only survivor of Yasar had the Ark of Tumen. So all those, the time he was fighting David, he could not consult the Urim Tumim. In fact, one of the reasons we mentioned why he went to the witch of Ein Dor, because since he had killed the Kohanim, he had no Kohen to consult. There were no Urim Tumim in his neighborhood. So David did have them at the time. But Shaul did on occasion. But you see, he was moved by different principles. Now, Ariel in the Oz Melech number 4 makes a very interesting point. He says, "Kochoshel David v'kochoshel amalchut hu bikaron shemelech poretz l'darach." The whole power, the strength of David and monarchy generally, is the ability to breach the road, to carve new paths. Malchut eino mitkayemet al mignana bilvad. A kingdom, government, cannot survive on just defense, on maintaining the status quo. Oleha lizom, a king has to take the initiative. Litkof et abayot b'sharshon, to attack the problems at their roots. Nobody will elect someone to retain the status quo. I guess unless your name is Hoover, but we know how that worked out. You can't maintain the status quo. In fact, that was Shamir's problem as the prime minister. All he wanted was to maintain the status quo, which in retrospect was much better then than it is today. So he wasn't wrong in that. The thing is, such a policy gives the people no hope. And you see, Sharon is going a different direction, foolishly in my opinion, but a different direction, because he could just as easily say, there's nothing to do, let's maintain the status quo. But people never want a leader who's going to say, I will do nothing, I will keep things the way they are, no matter how good things are. Makes no difference. That makes a difference. The same thing in this election. Even the incumbent has all different proposals to change things, make things better, not to mention the challenger. So the basic principle of Malchus is Pritzas Derech. Notice, David HaMelech is the descendant of who? Yud had a son? Peretz. Peretz is the symbol of monarchy of Israel because he's the one who breaches the path. What happens in these psukim here? David's first test, his first battle as the king, Vayavo David, Vival Pratzim. The plain of Pratzim, but it means the plain where he makes his breach, his innovation. David is not going to rest on just defeating the Plishtim in one battle. David is going to be Poreitz a new Derech. He's going to defeat them utterly, he's going to vanquish them. They don't pose a threat to Jews anymore. In fact, if I recall correctly, after David's time, the Plishtim disappear. They're not a threat anymore. Other enemies come. Ashur, but other enemies, but not the Plishtim. David wants to fight the ultimate battle against the Plishtim. That's the method of Ben Peretz. Now, of course, look at the second paragraph. Avo bekach lefrotz, we're not going to suck on our above. The power to make these breaches has hidden within it great danger as well. Yesh chashash laharisa el hakodesh is the possibility of even that which is holy being destroyed. Because once you're innovating, once you're carving out new paths through the mountains, then you could carve a new path in a wrong direction as well. Not everything that exists, not everything in the status quo has to be changed. Certain things are very good, should be kept. But the nature of the innovator is to want to change everything. And therefore that poses a great danger, as we'll see. And that phrase of Peretz, as David's a Ben Peretz, we say in the davening, Al Yadish Ben Partzi, L'chadodi. So that quality of being the Peretz typifies Malchus Beis David in all its glory, as well as its potential for danger as well. Now, the danger appears in another type of pritzah, number 6. By Yosef O David, so this actually begins the Haftarah for Shmini, if you're keeping score. By Yosef David, O David, es kol bachur b'Yisrael shloshim olav. David gathered 30,000 men, chosen men from Israel, for the purpose of Vayakom Vayeluch David v'chol ha'om asher yitum mibalei Yudol alos mishom esaron elokim asher nekra shem shem Hashem tzvakos yoshev akruvim elov. David takes 30,000 people. They're not capturing the Aaron, mind you. They're just picking it up. But he wants to make a public scene of his monarchy. Since he's focused on Binyan Beis HaMikdash, he wants to gather people from across Israel, representing every tribe, and together, triumphantly, they'll bring the Aron HaKodesh to Yerushalayim. Vayarkivu esaron elokim el agoloch hadashah. They put the Aron, the Ark of God, upon a new wagon. Vayisohu mibeis Avinadav asher bagivah. They took it from the home of Avinadav in Kiryat Yarim. Ve'uzah ve'achiyo b'nei Avinadav no'agim eso agoloch hadashah. Two people, sons of Avinadav, Uzzah and Achio, they are guiding the new wagon. Alright? Animals are pulling the wagon, they're holding on to the animals to pull them in the right direction. Big mistake. Now you ask. David HaMelech will wish he asked the same question, why he didn't carry it. Vayisohu mibeis Avinadav asher bagivah im aron elokim. What? No, you'll see. We'll discuss. They carried it from the house of Inadov. Vachyo holech lefnei Aron. Achyo is walking before, and Uzzah is walking alongside. V'David v'chol beis Yisrael misachakim lefnei Hashem. David and all of Israel, they're celebrating. They're making merry. A little too merry. Too much levity. V'chol atzei v'roshim. All kinds of cypress wood instruments, uvekinaros, uvinvalim, uvesupim, uvenananim, uvetzeltzelim. They're using harps and lyres and drums and timbrels and cymbals. They have a whole orchestra that's accompanying them. It's a very festive march. Vayavo at Gorinachon, they come to a place, Gorinachon. Chazal say that they walk 6 steps. Vayishlach Uzzah el Aron Elokim vayoches bo ki shamtu abakor. Uzzah saw that the oxen had started to dislodge the Aron HaKodesh, who was about to fall off the wagon. So he stretched out his hand to grab the Aron so it should not fall. Vayicharaf Hashem be'Uzzah. God became angry, so to speak, at Uzzah. Vayakehu shom Elokim al Hashal. And God smote him there, Alashal, for the mistake that he made. Vayom Hashem im Aron Elokim. And he died there together with the Ark of God. Vayichar leDavid, Alasher Paratz Hashem Peretz Guzah. Note the name. David himself became very angry, upset with himself, because God had made a breach against Uzzah. So here you have a breach which has a sakana. They did something wrong, some mistake. The place was called Peretz Uzzah. Question is what they did wrong. So as Osho noted, what? It's coming up. That's right. Next week's Sedra. That's right. It seems like a pretty obvious mistake. Rashi says in number 7, Ta bedavar shafilu tinoko shobeis rabbonyo denoso. He made a mistake in something even children know, much less celebrated physicians. Even children know this open pasuk. Ki avodas hakodesh aleihem bakosef yiso. The tribe of Kahasa, Levim generally, the holy work is upon them to carry the Aron HaKodesh, Bakosef Yiso. They have to carry it on their shoulders. So what happened here? David actually made 4 mistakes that the Malbim in number 10 lists. 1, we recognize, obviously, the Aron should be carried on shoulders, not on a wagon. Secondly, who should carry it? Shevet Levi. Alright, Kohanim also, but Shevet Levi at least. Uz and Achyo apparently were not Shevet Levi. It should not be carried on an animal, on a golo. That's pretty bad in itself. When the Plishtim returned with the Aron HaKodesh, they returned it to Kiryat Yarim 20 years earlier, they in fact had put it on an agolo with animals, because they were afraid to touch it. But Chazal tell us that the animals which led that agala walked themselves unguided to Kiryat Yarim. They knew exactly, as if they knew exactly where they had to go. And the 4th mistake, if you see the Malbim at the bottom of 10, Nesach HaKim, Derech Sechok, Lo Kismechim Bir Adah. Derech Sechok, too happy, too joyous, too much levity. Too much levity, Mike.
Which one is it? Sorry.
It's okay. Stay. Too much levity. So what was the sin of Uzzah? Before we get to we'll get to the sin of David. Let's understand the sin of Uzzah first, because he's the one who died. Right. He died. So the Gemara says in Sota, Daf Lamed Hey, Amad Alf, number 8, Val Dover Zed Nenash Uzzah. Alright? Vayishlach Uzzah Es Yodo Lechoz Es Aron. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Uzzah, Nosov Nosa, Atzmo Lekol Shkein. So the Gemara is talking about something else we discussed here. This shir covers everything. When we crossed the Jordan, so remember the Kohanim didn't carry it. The Navi itself implies that the Aron carried the Kohanim. So the Aron carries itself, or as the Gemara says, Nosov Nosa. It carried those who carry it. Atzmo Lekol Shkein. It can't carry itself. It needs you to make sure it doesn't fall. Vayicharaf Hashem beUzzah ve'akeu sham al hashal. He was smitten al hashal. What's al hashal? Rabbi Yochanan Velozo Chadamar al iske shalu. Iske shalu. Rashi says a 9 on the top. Shkoga, sheshogad lechosbo. What did Uzzah do wrong? Nebuch, he made a mistake. That's what he did wrong. He made a mistake. He should have thought better, but instinctively he reacted to shogeg, so he died. As a matter of fact, if you take that opinion, which is Rabbi Yochanan's, the next pasuk says, Vayoma Shom im Aron Elokim, he died there with the Aron of God, or Rabbi Yochanan, Uzzah bo, l'olam abo. He enters the world to come because he sinned b'shogeg. How do we know from the pasuk im aron elokim ma aron olam kayom av uzo bolol mabo? Just like the aron exists forever, so too uzo exists in the world to come as well. That's one shot. Aliske shalu, but charomar she'asa tzrocha b'fanov. What was Uzzah's sin that he relieved himself? Forgive my language. Before the Aron HaKodesh. How could that be? What do you say? How could it be? Because then it's obvious. He shows such contempt for the Aron HaKodesh. What's that? Oh, so we have to understand why Chazal would use such graphic language which would reflect poorly on Uzzah. When Rabbi Yochanan says he made a mistake, Rebbe Lossi, he didn't make a mistake. He was disrespectful, even vulgar, to the Aron HaKodesh. How could it be?
Can we now look at it another way? He had an accident out of fear.
That the Aron would fall.
No. The fear of approaching the Aron could precipitate an accident. Like
accident of?
Well,
he was the one leading it. So the only issue that wasn't his punishment. His punishment was he touched the iron as it was about to fall, so to speak. We have to understand. So you have two opinions. One, it was a mistake. Second, that it's an act of contempt. What's the point? So really, two points have to be made. One, I spoke about this years ago because it has some contemporary ramifications. Uzo was very sincere. No doubt about that. Eliske Sholi made a mistake. But sincerity and a desire for spiritual expression are not exclusive values in Jewish life, nor are they, in fact, self-justifying in Jewish life. By the way, what does this remind you of? Nadav ben Aviv, exactly. And that's why it's the Haftorah for Shemini. Because Uzzah's sin is similar to the sin of Nadav and Avihu, who also, at least according to the majority opinion of Chazal, had very good motivations. He krivu eish zara lifnei Hashem, asher lo tzivu Hashem, but yet they were sincere in what they did. The problem is that we don't maintain sincerity is an inherent value. It's important, but it's not a self-justifying value such that one can say, because I am sincere, therefore, and well-meaning, therefore I can experiment. Therefore I can innovate. Therefore I can change halacha. That's the first point. That's the first mistake that he made. And that would say shkoga. Shkoga means he felt that since he was doing the right thing, maybe he didn't learn the Gemara Sota to know that no sov no so atzmo lo kol shkein. So he sees what's before him. Yet halacha says no. If halacha says no, and he knew that you can't touch the Aron HaKodesh, so nothing justifies touching it. The second point is that no Jew is allowed to say, if not for me and my contributions, then the Torah is going to falter. The Torah is going to collapse, and therefore I should be allowed to do whatever I want. Halacha, I'll get in a second. Halacha is all about boundaries. Halacha is about limits. And that's why the place of the sin is called Peretz Uzzah. Peretz is a breach. The Torah has boundaries. We should like them, but whether we do or not, it's not relevant. He breached the boundary of the Torah by touching the Aron HaKodesh. So to think that one is indispensable to the existence of Torah is to demonstrate an arrogance, a self-importance, that I would suggest is akin to Oset Stracha Bifanov. That's what it's like. To say that if not for me, the iron's going to fall. If not for me, Torah will fail. So that arrogance is Oset Stracha Bifanov. Because that assumes too much. And in fact, if you look at the graphic nature of what's attributed to him, what it's really telling us is that here's this human being who has to eliminate waste like a behemoth. And he thinks the Aron HaKodesh is dependent on him? How could that be? It can't be. So that really is Peretz Uzzah. And Valdover Zenenash. Yes?
And the basic shark to be, he's just instinct. You know,
yes, could very well be.
Like everything you're saying, he wasn't
that's right. But that's why a Jew has to train himself instinctively to follow the halacha, not instinctively not to follow the halacha. That's the instinct of a Jew. The natural, the default position of the Jew is to do what the Torah says. What's that? He was right there. It was his idea. Yes, it was his
idea.
It was his idea. Why was it his idea? What was David thinking? We'll get to that in a moment. Yes.
What's the meaning of the pasuk by Yechal David Hashem
Uzzah? Yeah, David became very upset.
And who was it? He was angry.
The Malbim says with himself. With himself, because here It's similar to Aaron HaKohen. Here he's presiding. He and Moshe presiding over the Chanukas HaMishkan, and Aaron's sons die. Here it's a David's request that Uzza and Achya, they're specially chosen to lead the Aaron HaKodesh to Yerushalayim, and they die. One dies, Uzza dies. So David is very upset. So upset, he doesn't know what to do. Now again, in the end, Uzza, Rabbi Yochanan says, is Zoch El Chayil Mabah. But what is his error? Again, it's another error that we make too. It's an over-familiarity with God. That we can't have. We can never have an over-familiarity with God, with the Aron HaKodesh, with the Beis HaMikdash, because such an intimacy is fateful. We're not allowed, never allowed, to let our passion for God, for Torah, for mitzvos, for the Beis HaMikdash, for the Har HaBayis, overrun the halacha. That can't be. The halacha is our boundary. So this over-intimacy really led to frivolity. That's Misach HaKim. There was no Kedusha there. It's like the Simchas Torah in some shuls run amok. What's that?
More like Purim than Simchas Torah.
Yeah, the Simchas Torah can be like that too. Purim also. It's out of control. The people think there's something religious involved, but it's really the Nefesh HaBahami out of control. And that's what happened here. And again, David sensed that he had erred. What was a joyous moment was marred, and David felt the loss. Look at the next pasuk. This is number 11. Vayira David es Hashem bayom ahu. David feared God on that day. Vayomer, Eich yavo elai Aron Hashem. How is the Aron of God to come to me? Meaning David's in a bad position. He didn't know how to bring the Aron HaKadosh Yerushalayim. For some reason, he felt you couldn't carry it. And now he says you can't take it on an iron on a wagon either. So woe to the Jew who sins and doesn't know what his sin was and how to rectify the sin, because then there's no hope. What do you do in such a case? Which is what David faced now. What does the tzaddik do? Steps back, does nothing. Has to evaluate, has to analyze, is to think, what happened, where are we going, and then proceed. And in fact, that's what did happen. The next pasuk, you don't have it. V'lo avot David lasir eilav es aron Hashem alir David. David stopped. He let them stay in Kiryat Yarim. V'atev David beis, oved Edom Hagiti. Took it to someone else's house. Oved Edom Hagiti. V'yeshev aron Hashem beis oved Edom Hagiti shlosho chodashim. There the aron rested for 3 months until David could figure out what to do. Vayivarech Hashem es Oved Edom es Kol Beiso. God blessed Oved Edom and his entire house. It's very interesting. So he left it there for deliberation. In the meantime, Oved Edom was blessed. He and his entire house, as the Malbim notes, because people became frightened of the Aron HaKodesh for the wrong reason. They thought it had mystical powers because it had the It struck the Plishki gods in Shmuel's time. Someone was killed as well. Here Uzza was killed. So now the Hashgacha determined that people should recognize it's not the Aron HaKodesh. The Aron HaKodesh is not a destroying avenger. Because you see, Vayivarech Hashem es Oved Edom es Kol Beiso. What determines our fate? Not the Aron HaKodesh, not mystical properties. What determines our fate is Tzidkus or Rishus, Bracha or Klolo, Uvacharta Bachayim, Lamantichya Tavizarecha. It's Bechir which determines what our fate is going to be. That's it. Our choice between good and evil, between doing what the Torah says or not doing what the Torah says. That's the only determinant. David now has to retrench. Look at number 13 in the Oz Melech again. And in a moment, we'll try to analyze what David's sin was. David shagov v'nichshav alat aras. He also made a mistake. And again, it was also a well-meaning mistake, because he is the one shetovat abonoshel aras. Shaul HaMelech never sought to bring the Aron HaKodesh to the Mishkan. David wanted to. But he recognized, as the pasuk in Divrei Yavam says, which recounts this incident, Kilo Drashnu Kemishpat, they didn't seek it properly. How improperly, how to rectify it, so that he has to think about. Bimkom Lasei Tataran Al Kitfei Al Vim, Puni Sabagalot. So Al Vim carried it, so he carried it in a wagon. And that was the Pritza here. Kishono Shal David Morel Lechara Sheino Roy Lekirvat Elokim. David felt his failure here meant he was unworthy to draw near to God. And his kingdom was not rectifying the flaws of Malchut Shaul. If Shaul also was stopped in his attempt to achieve the pinnacle of national success, for his failures, and David was stopped too, so David's no better. His mistake uncovered an inner weakness, an inner flaw. And that stopped, put a halt to any political or military processes. He had goremet umaudedet at the plishtim lanasot latzor bado b'ter miyem muchar. And that itself encouraged the Plishtim to come. So really, Rav Ariel writes that there are two tests that David had. The first, the test of the Plishtim, he passed. The second, the test of the Aron HaKodesh, that he did not pass. And the two tests are really linked, because they both relate to one common theme, David's ability to surrender to God's will. Now, the question is, why did he make that mistake? Granted, he'll learn from it, and he will be thereafter deferential to God's will, as he was at the second battle with the Plishtim, all right? And that will be the hallmark of his righteousness. But why did he put the Aron HaKodesh on a wagon? So look at number 18. There are two pshatim that Rav Ariel quotes. One, from the Sifrei Chassidus, the Shem Yishmuel. The Shem Yishmuel, the father of the Sachat Shaver, he says as follows, that what David wanted to bring everybody, 30,000 men, to take the Aron HaKodesh and to give the responsibility of transport to Uzon Achyo, representing the people, skip a few lines, it's a national assembly. David wanted to take the mitzvah from the Levim and make it the mitzvah of the entire people. Why? Good reason. David didn't want to utilize the Kohanim. Could be he was burnt in Nov. The last time he used the card, they were all killed as a result of what he did, as a result of what Shaul did. Ein hu rotze b'chatzitza b'ein ha'om le'olkov v'amnaseh shutaf b'simchav v'naseh aram. David, the Shem Yishmuel writes, wanted to make everyone a partner in bringing the Aron HaKodesh to Yerushalayim. There shouldn't be any barriers between man and God. Every Jew has the right to serve God directly. There's no distinction. Everybody should be involved. The Levium, that's restricted to the carrying of the Kalim. By the Levium is restricted to the Midbar. That's not for now. Now in Eretz Yisrael, everybody should be able to carry the Aron HaKodesh. That's what he felt. The Gra, one second. The Gra takes the opposite approach. The Gra writes, Al Kivun Afuch, David Chashav Shat Tzivu Lasei B'Katev Lo Nemar El L'Dar Midbar Shehoya Ra'ui Lisa B'Katev, because everybody was holy. Uvidoro and Roy Elisa Bagalah. Not that they were so holy they wanted to get everybody involved, exactly the opposite. David felt the spiritual level of his door was such, nobody was worthy to carry the Aron HaKodesh on their shoulders. So therefore, take a wagon, not a U-Haul, but a wagon that's never been used before, brand new. So you can't say it was trivialized in its use before. And let animals carry it or transport the wagon. Nobody should touch it. That's what David felt. He writes very tellingly, next paragraph, two paragraphs down. These are contradictory approaches to understanding human beings. Optimit, Ashneel pessimist. This is an optimistic and a pessimistic. Optimistic is the Shem Yishmuel, the Chassid. Get everybody involved. Let everybody do it. Why limit it to one group? Why should they be the lauded, the cherished elite? The other's more pessimistic. Where on a lower level, you have to let others carry it. So David's mistake was a mistake. But however it was understood, and however well-meaning David was, so he deviated from the strict orders of the Torah, and but there's ain't eitzah lifnei Hashem. There are no arguments. There's no guilty with an explanation before God. No eitzah, no tunos. A person has to do what the Torah says. That's the greatest chachma. Do what God says. So in that sense, you can't breach God's will. That's Peretz Uzzah. Yes. Disturbing. He took from every tribe. He took from every tribe. Made a national event. The Gro.
Yes.
And even so, even though he took the people, they still weren't worthy of carrying Aaron Kodesh. Right? That's what he meant. You see, it's not. You see, David meant well. That's why Vayira is afraid. You know how to react. Go back to the page, by the way. The Malbim says in number 12, Vayira David. It's not a good state to be in. Perush. David Ovat Tamid Me'avu Misimcha. David always worshipped God out of love and happiness. Vavoda Kazos Tarik Al Balea Shefa Chesed Rachamim. Tova Simcha. And this type of worship of God will always pour forth upon its practitioners an abundance of kindness and mercy and good and joy from God. He fell from a level of an Oved Me'ava to a lower level. Not even Yiras Hashem, but Yiras Ha'onesh, just afraid of being punished, until he could figure out what he had to do. Ech yovo elai Aaron Hashem, im basher hergish ki nafami madregoso, im basher rosh misnaheg im akravel Aaron uzo bedinu v'fachad, v'chol akarev akudish so yamus. He didn't know what to do, because he knew if you approach, you'll get killed. Now they didn't approach, they also got killed. So what to do? He does figure it out. He's David HaMelech. Look at the number 14. Once David hears, Beirach Hashem is Beis Aved Adom, V'chol Asher Lo Bavur Aron Elokim, then Vayelech David Vayal Asaron Elokim Beis Aved Adom, here David B'Simcha, he goes and retrieves the arm from Aved Adom, Vayihina, note the difference in the processions. So now they carry the Aaron on their shoulders. Leviim. And every six steps, every six steps they offered karbanos. Uzzah had only taken six steps. And it says he took it what? B'simcha. Not misachakim. Not tzchok. Levity. Frivolity. Simcha is joy. It's really an inner joy. That Simchas HaMitzvah. V'David, now he demonstrates his joy. V'David mecharker b'chaloz l'fnei Hashem. V'David chagur efod bod. David is now dancing with all his strength before God. It's a wild scene. He's wearing a linen tunic. And apparently he's jumping up and down. Parts of his leg or arm are being exposed. V'David v'chol beis Yisrael ma'alim misaron Hashem. Again, everybody's there. It's a very festive, joyous, regal procession. B'terov v'kol shofar. Notice they got rid of all the other instruments. In fact, it's the Levim who play instruments in the Beis HaMikdash. We got rid of that other band, and now you've blown the shofar. You blow the shofar, so that's already a gilu birato. It's a little more solemn, joyous but solemn. V'hayah aron Hashem ba'ir David. As the Aaron came to hear David, Michal ba Shaul nishkafa ba'ar achalon. Michal, David's wife, is looking out the window. Vateres ha-melech David mifazez u'michaker lifnei Hashem. She sees David leaping and dancing before the Aron HaKodesh, a whirling dervish. Vativez lo b'lipo, and she scorned him in her heart. She became contemptuous of him. To her, he was acting in an unkingly manner. Vayaviu Aron Hashem v'yatzigu asum mikomo b'socho Asher. Notalo David. David prepared a tent, a curtain, and that's where the Aron HaKodesh was brought. Vayal David olos of Hashem u'shlamim, and he brought more karbanos. Good. You recall, of course, when the Mishkan was in Nov and Givon, you're allowed to bring karbanos in private bamos. Vayechal David olos olov u'shlamim. He finished the karbanos. Vayvarchas ha'am b'shem Hashem tzvakos. He blessed the people. Vayechalek l'chalom, he gave everybody bread and meat and wine. So it was a day to remember. The Aron HaKodesh is now in Yerushalayim, and really a major step forward in the process of building the permanent Beis Hashem. Everything is good. Like how many times husbands are happy, then they go home. Vayoshov David l'varach es beiso. Now David goes to bless his household. But Tetzei Michal ba Shaul across David. Michal, his wife, goes out to greet him. But Tomer, she says, with sarcasm, Manichbad hayom melech Yisrael, asher niglo hayom le'enei amho savadov, kigolos niglos acharekim. She said to him, how honored was the king of Israel today, who exposed himself in the presence of his servants, maidservants, as a boor would expose himself, because he was dancing up and down, and probably his robes were flying about. Vayomer David el Michal lefnei Hashem. David says to Michal, Michal Shaul's daughter, of course, Asher bochar bi me'avich. She said, that's why God chose me over your father, u'mikol beiso, and over his entire house, to appoint me as ruler over the people of God, over Israel. All I did was rejoice before God. If I did that, I shall behave even more humbly than this. Spoke among them, I'll be even more honored. As Rashi says in 16, oh, we went from 14 to 15, by the way. Rashi says in 16, Imami kaveda enomivazimosi. The maidservants are not mocking me. Elochashuvani bene hemalzos. Because I could dance with such enthusiasm, with such exuberance before the Aron HaKodesh, they see me as even more distinguished, more important. Story ends on a sad note. We have to understand the machlokas here. Michal did not have a child until the day of her death. What's that? No. She didn't conceive. She did not give birth until the day of her death. We have to understand what's going on here. First, you recognize that Michal Bashol is a tough cookie. You recall from Shmuel Aleph that she confronted her father after she married David. She confronted him, held him off until David could escape, and then challenged him. Michal, we know the Gemara says in Erev and Daf Tzadivav and Aleph, number 17, Michal Baskushi, Haisa Manachas Tfilin, Lo Michu Bochachomim. She'd walk around Tfilin every day. Chum did not stop her. As opposed to Halacha, which says that we are Mocha women who wear Tfilin. She, they didn't want to stop. She had a different motivation entirely. Yes. Shaul was known as Kush. Kush ben Yemini. Kush meaning standing out for his beauty. Asher halog mirushalayim. Im yichamir asher aglot. What's the pasuk? Mordechai ben Yerim Shimi ben Kush ish Yemini. Kish was his father. It says Kush. I think it does. It says Kish. Shaul was ben Kish, but he's known as Kushi. Whoops.
Yes.
That's right. However, it's going to be read Yeah, well, it's going to be vowed. It'll be red Kish. Right. Oh, it says Kish. Maybe the Ksiv is Kush. That's right, Kish. Well, Shaul himself is called Kush. Right. Kush means someone who stands out, like Isha Kushis, like Tzipora. Someone who stands out for their beauty. Yeah, Miriam? Kushis, exactly. Rashi says, Yifas Mara, she stood out for her beauty. All right, let's understand. So Michal criticizes, David responds. So what's the machlokas here? Look at number 19. Aradak. Aradak says, quoting the Medrash in Bamidbar, Amarlo, it's really Amrolo. It says Amrolo, actually, it's missing the hay. Michal said to David, Shel beis abo heisa malchus no mishalcho. My father's royal house was much more refined than yours. Chalila lahem imnir lechad man pisas yad o pisas regal magula. God forbid they would never allow even their wrist or their ankle to be shown to the public. And you're showing everything to the public. Amar lo, David responded to her, Shel beis avich hayu menichin kavod shemayim misaskim mikvod atzman. Your father's house, they would set aside Kvod Shemayim, the honor of heaven, and they'd be involved in their own honor, meaning building up themselves. I set aside my honor, and I'm only involved in Kvod Koni, with the honor of my Creator. And the Pasuk says, Umin ha'amahos asher amart, Chas v'sholom min ha'amos at nikreis. Ein at nikreis min ha'amos. You will not be called amongst the mothers, and therefore she did not produce any children. Ad yom moso. Alright, what are we talking about here? So Michal said that David was not acting in a royal fashion, with dignity. Michal perceived the glory of the melech as evoking awe and reverence in the people. So in fact, the people's response, the people's perceptions, will govern an action's propriety or impropriety. Who does that sound like? Sounds like her father. She had renounced her father's approach, but yet she's a child of her father. That was her father's flaw. That was Malchus that she saw. You have to maintain a royal bearing, because then the people respect you. Otherwise, they won't respect you. So Shaul, in fact, always maintains a distance between himself and the people. Familiarity breeds contempt. No man is a hero to his valet. So therefore, she maintains this distance. And that's why he sees himself as a person, primarily as a melech. What did David see himself primarily as? Eved Hashem, exactly. And that's the difference. Yes?
Isn't there a
button
here?
Right.
The king does not have the right.
Right. That's correct. Chazal mentioned that. He's not being machlokes kavod here. On the contrary, by showing that even the Melech Yisrael is subservient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the greatest kvod malchus. That's the greatest kvod malchus. And that's what he's saying here. The Malbim says in 24 that she said to him, you know, you went out today, Hayom, Kiyesh Melachim Sheminagom Limotzei Tamibeinahom Vizek Foda. There are some kings who go out amongst the people. That's what they do, but that's not you. You never do that. So Manech Bar Hayom, even when the king has to go out, Letzarach Shah, so he goes out in a certain appearance with his chariot, with royal garments. And here you go out for something which is not imperative, and you conduct yourself in this way. So in 25, the Malbim says, David answers, no. Achar shei shivlo lefi darko, shlo shbal kvodo bazeh. The contrary, he wasn't machil his kavod, nor was his honor even diminished slightly. Because you see, he says, that people respect him more for this. Nefoch hu zeh lo yikar gdulo, since his covenant is not dependent on the people. If the way that he rejoices before God, the way he's deferential to God, that itself is Kvod Malchus. If he's not going to be perceived bearing the external framework of Kavod, the crown, the garments, etc., so people will recognize him because of the inner Kavod, the intellectual Kavod that's given to a person who is a true Eved Hashem. That's why he said to her, he'll have added Kavod, not detracted Kavod. Shaul saw himself as a Melech. David sees himself as an Eved Hashem. In number 20, the Oz Melech writes,
secured his own being while living.
Right, right, it's correct.
Always had to get approval from everybody.
That's correct. In 20, Rav Ariel writes, Michal mitvakachat gam al darkei avodat Hashem. She's also arguing about a methodology of divine service. She can't accept the spontaneous method of divine worship. Michal was very controlled. She was very rigid. And in fact, what's that? In a sense, she always sought to maintain a very high spiritual level. In fact, that's why she wore tefillin, Chazal v'na mocha. Because they recognized with her, it wasn't because it was a fad or because it was feminist. She was a Vedas Miyira, literally. Yira Soromimus. She was in awe of the transcendence of God and aspired to go from level to level in service of God. But in a very, very rigid framework. For David, surrender to God was the main striving, not Avoda Miyira, Avoda Me'ava. We see, in fact, he was repelled by Vayira David es Hashem Bayom Ahu. He was repelled by the concept of Yiras Hashem, Yiras Sa'onesh. He strove to serve God out of Ava, so therefore when it came to Avas Hashem, as long as it's taking place with Simcha Shel Mitzvah and involves no violation of Torah, so then it's all mutter, because then people see how he is completely subservient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's her punishment? So Radak says in 21, Lo hoya lo yoled. Chazal say, Me'ayom ahu ve'elach lo hoya lo lona. She never again had children. But before she did have, in fact, Paragimel mentions children that she had. Others said, Yom so that she did give birth again, but it was on her deathbed. She died in childbirth, like two others, Rachel Imenu and the daughter-in-law of Eli HaKohen. So those three died in childbirth. Michal Bashol as well. So what does this mean? What's the Mida Kenegan Mida? What's the punishment? So I think it's as follows. That really Michal, at this stage, she was, David was the love of her life, no doubt about it. At this point though, she's torn between her father's derech and David's derech. And therefore she cannot have children, because if she would have a child who would be a pretender, at least a contender for the throne, so that would be a conflict. Because you'd have a child who's torn between Shaul's derech and David's derech, and that can't be. So you couldn't have children who would be future malachim. Because in fact, David's derech is Shaul's derech is passé. Rabbi Yitzhak Arama, the Baal Kedis Yitzhak, writes, the Malbim quotes it, that you couldn't have any more children because God did not want Zerah Shaul to increase. As long as you have Shaul's descendants around, there'd be someone out there who want to make him the king. With this, David begins to define his melucha. And like I said before, it's Al-Yad Ish Ben Partzi, the one who's going to make Pritzes Derech, we're going to make breaches, innovations. He's going to strive to move Klal Yisrael forward, to keep them on a level where Binyan Beis HaMikdash becomes worthy. No, not to be a Poreitz himself, but to be a Ben Poreitz. Ben Partzi, a child of Peretz, is one who knows when and what and how and where. And that person can be the Melech who will achieve the greatest accomplishments for Klal Yisrael. Aron HaKodesh returns to Yerushalayim. It's brought behind the curtain. And now David attempts to build the Beis HaMikdash. Immediately, Perek Zayin begins. Vayomer Melech al Nasan Anavi, says to Nasan, Re'eino Anochi Yashay Bevei Sarazim, I'm sitting in a palace of cedar. Varon Elokim Yashay Besochai Riyah, and God's ark is dwelling behind the curtain. And Nasan says to him, now is the time, let us begin. David will be sidetracked by a number of problems with some of his wives, some of his children, with his enemies, with his own missteps, but he sets out to build the Beis HaMikdash. Will he build it? Will it be called Sukkas David? Will he claim credit for it? For that you have to come back next year. Thank you very much. The Rambam says in 23, in Hilchos Lulav, Perek Ches, Halacha Yedalid, Mitzvah l'harba simcha, talking about simcha shel mitzvah on Yom Tov, especially simchas beis ha-shoeva. V'lo hoyu osin osamei ha-aretz. They didn't want lowlifes coming to dance in the Beis HaMikdash. For those who think you should be critical of David, v'chom ishirtzeh. Not anybody wants to dance with the Torah should be able to dance with the Torah, by the way. El gedole, I'm talking about men, not about women. Men! You have to have a guy who appreciates the Torah. Then he dances with the Torah. Who danced in the Simchas Beis HaShoeva? El Gadol Chachmei Yisrael, Rashi Yeshivos, Vasanhedrin, Chasidim, Zkenim, Anshei Maaseh, Haim Shoyu Meraptin, they're the ones who danced. They're the ones who rejoiced. You shouldn't think it's a sign of some spiritual weakness to want to celebrate enthusiastically with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Beis HaMikdash. On the contrary, look at Tezvav, HaSimcha Shesomach Odom, the happiness that a person rejoices in doing the mitzvah, love of God, avoda gedolah, just to be happy is a great mitzvah. V'chol hamoneh atzma mesimcha zo roi lipara mimenu, whoever does not want to rejoice in this way, he'll be punished, as the Tochacha says, tachas asher lo avat shemakech v'sivu tuv leva mirav kol, that's a punishment. Because we didn't serve God with joy, so now we have to serve Him not out of joy, in the exile, in suffering. And whoever is haughty in his service of God, that's a chote and a shote. And that's what Shlomo warned. Now, v'chol hamashbul atzmo, who mekel gufa b'mkomo seilu, who agodol mechubot oved me'avo, the person who lowers himself, who really knows no bounds in his submission to God, that person is the most glorified, the most honored. He's the one who serves God out of love. V'chein David Melech Yisrael Omar. That's what David said, our pasuk. Una kalosi od mizos v'isi shafo b'nai. Bet I should humble myself even more before God, and I'll be more honored in front of people. V'ein ha'gedul v'akavod elo l'smach l'fnei Hashem. The greatest honor, the true measure of greatness, is to rejoice before God. Shenemar v'melech David mifazez u'mechaker lifnei Hashem. David is whirling and leaping and dancing before God. So you see, our pasuk is really the source for the enthusiastic simcha shel mitzvah. Then in the proper occasion, there's no mila to being reserved, to being quiet, to standing on the side and letting others rejoice. On the contrary, the greater a person is in Torah, that's how great he should be in terms of Avodas Hashem. Dancing wildly, dancing madly. So now I'll close with a story that I'm fond of telling. I had a Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael, now almost 30 years ago, who said to me once that he saw a man who saw a man who saw the Gaon Mivilna. This is 1976, and the Grod died in 1797, so it's a good 270 years. And yet he said he saw a man who saw a man who saw the Grom. So how's it possible? So he said he met a very old man in Great Britain who himself had met a very old man that at the age of 4, probably a year before the Gaon died, the Gaon was dancing wildly on Simchas Torah. And as a 4-year-old child, he accidentally stepped on the Gaon's tzitzis and held him down so he couldn't dance. And the Gaon looked down at him and said to this little boy of 4, get off my talus and you'll live a long life. Now whether it was a threat or bracha, that depends on your own analysis. That's right, that's a threat. sure enough, he got off the talus. He lived a long life. So he told this to another young boy, and that young boy told this to my Rebbe. So you see, even the Gedolei Chachamim, Chachmei Yisrael, Rosh Yeshiva Sanhedrin, Chassidim, Zkenim, Anshei Masa, they're the ones who are involved in Simchas Shel Mitzvah. There's no shame, on the contrary. To be a servant of God, therein is only honor. Okay, thank you again.